God, our Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer. Amen. I mentioned this in passing recently, but a couple weeks ago, the day we handed out the pledge cards, there was a gentleman who was here visiting, who's a retired Episcopal priest who's living in Canada, and he said that the last time he was here, last year, was also the day we gave out pledge cards. And he said, "Do you do this every Sunday?" Which may not be a bad idea, so we're thinking about that. But if anyone is visiting today, I want you to know that we do not talk about pledging every single day, every single Sunday, but this is a very pledge-heavy time of the year. And so today I'll be talking about pledging and a little bit about money and focusing on Christ Church Cathedral, but we also have a bagpiper. So there's a mix of things here for everyone, something for everyone. And if you are visiting today, I invite you not so much to pledge to Christ Church Cathedral, of course you may, but I invite you to pledge to whatever church it is where you find Jesus as your home. And thinking about a little bit about home, and this our spiritual home. I believe one of the unique characteristics of home is that you cannot really know your home the way other people can when they walk into it for the first time. When I was growing up, I used to go regularly to my friend Kevin's house. And whenever I went, especially as a middle schooler, I started to realize that Kevin's house had a distinct smell. It wasn't a bad smell. It wasn't an odor. It was just the way Kevin's house smelled. And I would forget about it, but then I'd go over to his house, and I was like, oh, there it is again. And I asked him about it, and he had no idea what I was talking about. And then 20 years after we graduated from high school or so, I was living in Boston, and Kevin and his wife had built a new house. I went over and visited, and it was the same smell. Which is so interesting. Think of all that here in Christ Church Cathedral we don't notice because this is our home. Think of all that we don't see, of the odor here, of the vibe here, of the ethos that we have at Christ Church Cathedral. And I invite you today on Christ the King Sunday to consider, where is Jesus in the mix of all of this? I hate to say it, but as you know, and I know there are churches where it can be difficult to find Jesus Christ, where you walk in and you're not really received well by the community, and you don't get the sense of God in the message. When the people can't really break out of their small cliques to say, welcome. Where perhaps there's a sense of judgment or condemnation, which unfortunately happens. And I hope we're not doing that here. But you go into certain churches, and it's not a Jesus the King, Christ the King, towering over everything, or as Paul suggests in Colossians today, having Jesus there before all things. You sometimes have to look for him. There are also churches where they give off a hollow spectacle of the gospel, where what's really important, is just the clothes that they're wearing, or the ego of the preacher, or other things. I remember in Honduras, there was a church that handed out flyers that said, "We have performed twice as many miracles as the other Pentecostal church." All important, all sorts of things that people want to share, except where's the presence of Jesus? And you can walk in and you can sense that he's not there or he's there. When I walked in here the first time, 6.5 years ago, I felt Jesus Christ here. I felt first Jesus present in the commitment that we have to the homeless and to that commitment to the underserved, and the fact that 6 years ago people were also going out and serving people and finding them sleeping under the bridges and giving food on a regular basis, and the fact that we dedicate resources to that. Because in those things you find Jesus. And the fact that I was brought here to serve the Hispanic Latino community 6.5 years ago, and the fact that this church, of all the churches in the diocese, is one of the few that has consciously reached out to the people who live in the tower across the street, or to the other Latinos who live in the city who may not be able to pledge. And the fact that we are reaching out to people who don't look like we do or speak the same language as almost every Episcopalian does. And of course, you see Jesus in that. And you see Jesus in the music, right? You see Jesus in the music and the liturgy and the preaching and all the worship we do. And when I first came here, I saw it both in English and Spanish. You see Jesus in Spanish as well. I had a friend who was interviewing for a job at a very well-heeled church downtown Los Angeles. And she went in, and after a few hours, she could tell that it wasn't the church for her. Because the liturgy, while it was technically perfect, was cold. And a little bit too perfect, if you know what I mean. It's like they had just taken it directly out of the box. But where was Jesus? And finally, when I walked in here for the first time, I saw Jesus in this community. I saw him in what you do. You know, it takes effort to have the peace that we have every Sunday. It takes effort to get up and walk around and greet so many people and then make it back to your own pew. Sometimes I would be tempted just to go home and say, all right, I've had enough church. I've greeted enough people. It's time to go home and rest. But it takes effort to reach out to people with a hand of love and to share to people who you don't know and say, welcome. And in that you see Jesus. It takes effort to have a rabbi on staff and to do pilgrimages to certain holy type areas. And it takes effort to weed and clean outside the church and the grounds. And it takes effort to be an acolyte and to be a Eucharistic minister and an usher and a healing team member. And you see that effort of Jesus in the Flower Guild and in the Altar Guild. It takes dedication to do these ministries. And I see Jesus in all of these things. And I bet you do too, because otherwise you wouldn't keep coming back. His scent, His warmth, His grace are throughout these buildings and ministries, and we want Him to be at the forefront. The next new person who walks into Christ Church Cathedral today for the first time, the next new person needs to see Jesus as clearly as we do. That person needs to be welcomed by Christ as we were. They need for their wounds to be healed and their hurts to be taken and their pains to be blessed. The things, all the things that people bring in with them from the streets, they need to be mended in a way that only God can. And they need to know that their doubt is okay, that their questions are all right, and that the world is a pretty confusing and scary place at times, but that in Jesus Christ here, we find direction and we find purpose. They need to know if they have been rejected or kicked out of some other church because of their sexual identity or their orientation, or cast aside because of the color of their skin or their poverty or their political views, they need to know that they're welcomed at the table of Jesus right here. And they need to know that whatever illness they worry about, whatever pain they carry or fear that they have, that these things in here will be met by the force of love, which is stronger than each of us individually, which is made real in Christ the King, who we elevate today. In elevating Jesus, we put him at the forefront of this mess. We put him in the midst of our joy. We put him here in our work and in our service. And so today we are invited to pledge, to make our pledge to God, the Father, the Creator, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and to all that is good and true. And the idea is not that once a year you come here and you put this pledge card in a basket to show your commitment to Jesus. The idea is not that these pledges that we make today will somehow magically put Jesus at the forefront of all that we do, but the idea is that he's already here. And he's here in part because of these pledges, and in part because we pledged last year. And in part because for about 200 years we've had people making pledges to Jesus Christ. That's not the manifestation of his presence, but that's what makes it all happen. This pledge is what makes it possible to share a nice hearty peace and to have our worship and to hear the choir and to serve those who are sleeping under the bridges. It's what makes it possible to have diversity and to find pardon here, and receive prayer, and hear sermons, and know that the roof is just not going to fall on our head. Not this year. If those things are important to you, then pledge. If you want to keep Jesus active and strong, then I invite you to pledge. And if we want to keep Jesus in our lives, at the forefront, then we pledge. This pledge card means that in the mix of your life, of all the things that you have to pay, all of the expenses that you have to incur, all of the money that you have to give to all these various things, that there among all these things that we have to do is something that we are blessed to do and we get to do. It is a privilege for me to pledge to Jesus Christ. Because so often in my life, I just don't know what to do. I watch the news. God bless those of us who watch the news. Because we often don't know what to do. I worry about the environment. I worry about migrants and refugees. I worry about those who are sick. I worry about my own sins. And I think, I really don't know what to do, but I know that God does. And I know that Jesus does. And I know that I'm part of this bigger group of people. So I pledge for myself, because it's one thing I know to do. I do it for me. I do it for you, so that you have a place to be on Sunday, so that you have this altar and you have this table. I do it for the next brand new person who's going to walk in to Christ Church Cathedral. I do it for the people we find under the bridge. And the last thing I want us to think about today is to step back and realize that this year we're planning on doing more. That we've asked people to up their pledge a little bit, in part because we are investing. We're investing resources in our staff. We are investing in our leaders. We are investing in children and youth ministry. We're investing in our building, which, like my body, is getting older every day, and which needs a little bit of strengthening from time to time. And if you take your pledge card and you think about what you're able to pledge, and you're able to add just a little bit more toward that investment, to look at those numbers between now and the offertory. Actually, it says in the bulletin we're going to do the offertory right now, but let's do it during the offertory hymn. So as the collection is being taken, we'll put a basket up here, and we'll have an offertory plate up there, and you can put your pledge cards in there, which will give us all a little bit more time. And if you look at your pledge and you say to yourself, you know, I can do a couple more bucks, I can do a few more dollars, I can make a little bit more of an investment in Christ Church Cathedral, then I invite you to do that. Next week, I'm preaching, and I will not talk about stewardship, as far as I know. Next week, we will return to talking about Jesus and his story, and we'll have our music, and we'll pray, and we'll share the peace, and we'll celebrate the Eucharist, just like we do all the time. But this week, I hope you realize that what makes next week possible is our pledge. This tremendous gift that God has given us of having a king who is more than money and more than worry and more than pain and more than fear, who unites us by walking among us, who unites us by living and dying within our own lives. This tremendous pledge that we have is given in thanksgiving to the transformation of God in the form of love. May Christ the King bless you and remain with you today and forevermore. Amen.